Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. We are going verse by verse through the book of Galatians, though there be many other scriptures that we shall encounter in this series, whereby the whole book of God, of which Jesus said they speak of him, shall be searched. We pick up where we left off last week, first chapter of Galatians, fourth verse. Speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. From this present evil age. From the thoughts and habits and activities of this present evil age. And if you don't think it is, God give you eyes to see and ears to hear. And he did this, that is, Jesus did this according to the will of God and our Father, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. Better translated, no doubt. In the Old Testament, it speaks of the faithful God, and when you look at the Hebrew, it says of the Amen God, because God has no doubt that what he says is. Let's move on. Before we do that, let's look at a couple of other verses in the scriptures. In the 15th chapter of John, the 19th verse, Jesus said, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He says in the 14th verse of the 17th chapter, his prayer, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Paul says, King James translation, I marvel. Other translations would say, I'm astonished that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul, not naming it, gives the definition of the gospel, the call of God into the grace of God. That's the good news. That's the God spiel. The good talking God we would encounter in the fourth third verse of Ephesians 1, where translators translated, blessed be God. It's not blessed be God. It's not like we bless God. It is, the word is eulogesos, from which we get our word eulogy. That is, to speak well or good speaking. God, in his gospel, speaks and calls by speaking us into his unmerited favor, into where? It's a place, into Christ. Into the grace of Christ. Unmerited favor. He says, you heard this, you responded to it, I'm astonished that you're so soon removed from that place. Unto another gospel, Paul handles that right away. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We read in the first verse of Acts 15, it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, those that came down from Judea, those that came down from Jerusalem, we'll find out a little later. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Those that trouble you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, talking to the Corinthians, he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity in Christ, that is in Christ, from the grace, from the unmerited favor. He says in the first verses of the first chapter of Romans, of whom we have received grace. The word is lembano. It is a receiving act. There is that in receiving that we have to hold on to. We are speaking here of the call of God into the grace of Christ, the simplicity, the grace, the unmerited favor that is in Christ. But Paul says, there be some that trouble you, that read Acts 15. That's the first church counsel. I think next time we're going to go deeper into that 15th chapter and watch wherever God's light shines on men and women, Satan is right there in an attempt to snatch it. And remove us from the simplicity, remove us from the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Paul says, moving on, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, preach any other than the grace of Christ unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This is titled Paul's Impassioned Letter to the churches in Christ today. If you're hearing this, when you're hearing this, it's today. Let him be accursed, and he's impassioned, he says, he repeats himself, for as we said before, so say I again, he's not finished. If any man, angel, whatever, preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, he preached it, they received it, let him be accursed. By way of example, in the 16th chapter of the 1 Corinthians, the 22nd verse, Paul, the same writer, says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Here, the translators say, let him be cursed. By who? If we go further, same word, if we go to this phrase, anathema, in 1 Corinthians, it means damned by God. It means God damned. Who is Paul speaking of? He's speaking of those who would pervert the gospel of Christ. You think the gospel of Christ is important to Paul? Who would pervert? Who would turn things around? To turn the front back? Well, I could do something with that, couldn't I? I'm not going to. Paul calls those that trouble the Christian with something under the guise of another gospel, which is not another gospel. He calls them perverts. And he further goes on to say, let them be, okay, I'm going to soften it, damned by God. If there's any perverts out there, perhaps by his grace, God has given you an ear to hear this message. And might turn you back around. Wherein we and you might stay in the simplicity, in the grace of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Oh, I could join the chorus and say, yay, 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 God save. But I could join the chorus and say, oh, ye men, ye are so good that you come to church and God has blessed you. Look at what he's done for you in this world. Paul says that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Oh, Don, just go along to get along. Up yours, Paul says. He goes on to say, but I certify all that I am. I'm about to say, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it. He's repeating that which he says in the very first verse of this chapter, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but here's how I was taught it, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye heard of my conversation or my habits in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. There's a passage in Jeremiah in the 9th chapter where it says, 13th verse, and the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, the god of this world, which their fathers taught them. There was a time in Paul's life when he was not only bound by the tradition of his fathers, he loved it. And the result was he persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's hear what Jesus has to say on the subject in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. In the 5th verse, it says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?'" They had just walked through the cornfields. They were hungry. They grabbed a few ears and started eating. It's a natural thing. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How be it in vain?'" Vanity, whoosh, piece of air. "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines." That word doctrine has to do with something astonishing. "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." That somehow or other, by doing those things, you're pleasing God. Folks, without faith, it is impossible to please God. By grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Traditions make void the word of God. Paul goes on after saying, you know, "being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me into his grace, called me into his grace." Let's go back. And look at just a little part of that activity that Paul's speaking of the calling into his grace. Paul's on his way to Damascus. He's there to persecute Christians. God shines a light out of heaven, knocks him off his horse. Jesus speaks and says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And the light blinds Paul. He finds his way into Damascus. He's blinded. There's a man in Damascus by the name of Ananias. In the 11th verse of the 9th chapter of Acts, it says, let's go to the 10th verse. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, Lord, I'm here.' And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias, answered. It sounds like a man. Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon your name. Do you suffer as I suffer and as Ananias suffers here in this passage of arguing with God? Listen to the grace of God. But the Lord said unto him, Quit the arguing, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Galatai, Celts, God does not miss one word. He understands everything he said. He includes of the testimony of Paul that it is going to go to the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, of whom Jesus spoke and said, go first to the lost tribes of Israel. When he says children of Israel, he's not talking about Jews. He's talking about Israel. For he is a chosen vessel. The word here is ekloga, ekloge. It means of the act of God's free will by which before the foundation of the world he decreed his blessings to certain persons. It means speaking to a conclusion, a selection out of and to a given outcome. Listen to this. It's a cognate of eklogi, and it occurs seven times in the Greek New Testament. The cognate verb is eklegomai. Select, choose out, occurs 22 times and is always in the Greek middle voice. That means chosen by God for himself. This is God, who spoke and nothing became everything. And you and I beneficial recipients of that choosing out into the grace of Christ. And the children of Israel, the 15th verse ends, the 16th verse begins, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." We're going to talk about that next time at the God School. But for now, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.